You can't be one dimensional in the NFL. And even in your passing game, you can't just have slot receivers and short passes. You've got to have someone that can, as they say, take the top off the defense. And in the NFL, when you go from zero to one, is the biggest jump you can make.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
We start in the NFL, the big news of the day. Josh Gordon, who earlier on Thursday made an announcement via social media that he would be stepping away from football to take care of his mental illness issues. It was now announced a short time ago that the league has suspended Josh Gordon indefinitely for violating the terms of the substance abuse policy. Thus, no Josh Gordon. His days in New England are done. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the news out of New England?
Well, I tell you, this is such a multifaceted question. So let's kind of break it down. And I think not only is this interesting regarding how Vegas has reacted specifically to Josh Gordon, specifically to the Patriots, but also it's insightful about the way Las Vegas thinks. And let's start with the following. If you would have bet the Patriots week 16 against the Bills yesterday, Patriots at home, Patriots favored by 13 points. Today, post Josh Gordon news, Patriots favored by 13.5 points. So apparently the betting market says, well, Patriots are better without Josh Gordon. No, not necessarily, because remember, other things potentially could have happened in that interim period that caused people to bet. But obviously the market's not overreacting to Josh Gordon's absence. Now let's compare that to my personal friend, I'll say it, Colin Cowherd. I'm as big a fan as Colin as you can get, but I'm not willing to lose money for Colin. So we got to give you the Vegas truth no matter what. Colin today came on and he said, oh my, Brady is now out of the Super Bowl. There's no way. No. Now again, this is Colin. No way the Pats can now even make the Super Bowl. Brad, did you hear that today?
Yeah, I did.
How would you characterize the amount of, just take 20 seconds, the amount of certainty it seemed like Colin had?
I'm very certain. In fact, I wish, you know, if Colin could offer a Super Bowl prop, I'd love to bet him on that the, you know, by far the Pats have no chance. Give me the yes, they do have a nice chance to make this. Forget winning it. Make the Super Bowl was his whole recommendation. No chance to make the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? This is a team that still has a really good shot of still getting the number two seed if you just go off who they're going to be favored in the next couple of games.
Agreed. So I think overreaction by Colin. Now, let's agree with the following. Josh Gordon probably moves the needle more for the Patriots. And when I say the line, I'm not saying so much in the Bills game, because obviously it doesn't, because the Pats are going to be able to handle the Bills anyway. Chances are. It's the question is, can the Pats beat a Kansas City? Can they beat a Chargers? Can they beat a Steelers, a Saints, a Rams? And here's why I think against those elite teams, Josh Gordon, at least his talent level, was a lot higher. Or was significant in what it contributed to the Patriots' chances. And here's why. You can't be one-dimensional in the NFL. And even in your passing game, you can't just have slot receivers and short passes. You've got to have someone that can, as they say, take the top off the defense. And in the NFL, when you go from zero to one, is the biggest jump you can make. Think about it like life. If you have zero people that like you, oh my, not fun at all. If you have one person that likes you, it is so much better. Now listen, if you have one that likes you, you'd rather 11 like you, right? Or more. But going from zero to one, big difference. Having zero playmakers over the top means the defense can pretty much say, we don't have to over worry about that. Having one is such a big difference. Most teams have at least one. So if Josh Gordon went on team XYZ and then he left the team, you'd say, hey, talented guy, a lot of upside, but we went maybe from two to one playmakers or three to two. Patriots have now have zero, you can make the case. So I agree with Colin. This is bigger than Josh Gordon's, let's say, general abilities because he was the one playmaker. Now, Brad, you know in the NFL or the college football especially well, the NFL well too. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, it does. And keep in mind, the Patriots are already limited at playmaker. I mean, we have Fez relying on the big difference between the Patriots offense this year is a rookie running back, Sony Michel. When you're relying on rookies and a guy that's been suspended multiple times being your big differences between, you know, being an average offense and above average offense, it is a significant blow.
Yes, and it's not just because to me, if you go from two running backs to one that are viable, yeah, you want depth. You got to worry about another injury, but you got the one.
Yep.
Right now, Jonas, if I asked you, who's the over-the-top playmaker for the Patriots, what's the answer?
I don't think they have one.
And that's the key,
yeah.
Right? With Gordon playing, you can make the case they had one when he was playing well. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, giving the Vegas perspective on the Patriots and the Josh Gordon news today. Now, I think those that poo-poo Belichick here are just so wrong. What did the Patriots risk? That's the question. And imagine the following. Imagine there was a scenario where someone had, let's think of a good scenario here. Let's say someone had a 50-50 chance to win a lot of money. Okay. They were, you know, somehow it was let's use an example, the super contest. Okay. So we started $5,000 entry, the pregame.com team, Fezzix involved, Maddie Holt, who is a bookmaker's involved. And it was $5,000 against, I think, 120 people, if I'm remembering right. Winner take all. So $640,000. Now, to me, I think we had a good bet coming in. But I know right now that we're in second place, just one game behind. I think we have maybe a 30, 40% chance to win. Brad, if I said to you, give me $5,000 right now, the entry fee, and I'm going to give you 100% of our win if we win, how quickly would you do that?
Half a second.
Half a second, right? Because we're getting paid 120 to yeah. 1 on it, and we have a 1 in 3 chance. Now, let's assume we don't win. Would we say, boy, Brad Powers is dumb. I can't believe he took that 3-1 shot, you know, when he was going to get paid 120-1. Well, that's the thing about taking risks. There's uncertainty. This is kind of Vegas 101 stuff. But Belichick looked and said, okay, if Josh Gordon works out, we've got a playmaker. If he doesn't work out, what are we losing? A very modest amount. So to me, to look at the losers when someone makes a calculated risk that's positive and say the losers are a sign it was a bad risk is the opposite of how you want to think.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, guys, every single week at this time here on Straight Outta Vegas, we do a little something called this.
Now, trends of the week on Straight Outta Vegas.
You know, I cut my teeth. I came up through the ranks, made my bones in the late 80s. I was a teenager. You know, I was, 18 in 88. And there used to be, Brad, and you worked for one of these guys. Phil Steele was one of them. But there used to be these magazines on the stand. And they had all the old school, like a team that played 3 games on artificial turf and then, you know, on grass. And if the sky was blue and east of the Mississippi with a left-handed quarterback, 13-1, right? And you were with Steele, what, about 7 years?
7 years.
And you were grinding there, finding a lot of those trends, right?
Yes.
Now listen, trends in the wrong hands. It's like pizza, right? I love pizza. Too much pizza is a problem. In the wrong hands, pizza's a problem. Trends can be a problem. Here's what a trend is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a representation of a reality that's predictable. So an example could be way back in the day, the NBA used to have more back-to-backs. And they used to have, I can't remember, I think that they have three in a row sometimes, or there was like four out of five. There was just things that were even tougher in the NBA travel-wise. Even, I know this last year they're trying to help and have less back-to-backs, but I'm saying it was even worse than it was 5 years ago. And there were all kind of trends that were, if you're playing the third time in four nights and the games in Denver, high altitude, look to bet the Denver Nuggets. And you think about it, it made a ton of sense. You've got a tired team represented by all those games. You've got altitude, which means if you're tired, it's a problem. It made sense, right? So those kind of trends make a ton of sense, and many don't. What we try to do is find those trends that represent reality. And we were talking about the old school. Well, the old school trends used to talk about off a loss. The best coaches, if they lost a game, it was an opportunity to tell their team, listen, whatever you think, how good you think you are, you're not that good. If you were, how did we just lose that game? And the great coaches typically have a great against the spread record after a loss. And Bill Belichick has the best, literally the best. And the thing about Belichick is, two straight losses, Dolphins, obviously, and the Steelers, even better. So to me, as much as I think, man, that line is high and Bill's got a good defense, and now that there's the turmoil around Josh Gordon's absence and Gronk supposedly, you know, injured somehow in the last 24 hours, that he's on the injury report, skeptical, I am, I don't want to bet against Belichick. And the driver is Belichick off a loss. Brad, you've got, there's a lot of really elite college coaches. I think Urban Meyer was right in the mix, where they were exceptionally good off a loss. What do you think is the psychology that drives such performance?
Well, if you had players that were lacking in, as far as detail, a loss, because it doesn't happen very often to guys like Saban and Meyer, you definitely get that full player's attention to detail, something you always don't get on a week in and week out basis. I think that's a big driver of it.
RJ Bell, trends of the week straight out of Vegas. I think you're right. And I also think, you know, here's an analogy. Imagine you're driving and you've been on this road a bunch because it's your way to work and you're 15 miles over the speed limit, but all of a sudden you hear, see the sirens. But luckily, they pass you by. Do you slow down at that point?
Yes, you do.
Okay, that's the way a loss is when there's a good coach. Now, another coach like that, Seattle and Carroll, also off a loss, but there's another trend that really backs up Seattle here, which is how good they are at home, the Seahawks, in competitive games. Now, why does a competitive game matter? Because the main driver of Seattle's home field advantage is crowd noise, crowd enthusiasm. And if you're favored by 14 or whatever over a has-been or an easy team, yeah, the crowd's there, they're having fun, but it's not that fever pitch. But you've seen Seattle, especially when it's a night game, especially on national TV, in a competitive game, boy, oh boy, that crowd fever pitch. And Seattle has had an unbelievable against the spread record in those spots. And actually, Brad, you were talking about on our podcast where when Seattle's an underdog at home, which is pretty rare, they do exceptionally well.
Yeah, Seattle is 11-1-1 as a home underdog since 2011.
That's against the spread.
Against the spread.
11-1-1.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The future Vegas franchise known as the Raiders, why are they actually a good bet this week?
I'm not sure they are. That's why it's a question. Here's the question. This is likely the last game in Oakland, especially at this venue. So I heard the Raiders coach saying, Gruden saying, wow, there's so much history here. We gotta, you know, we gotta somehow make an effort and do right by it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, but boy, Gruden is a master motivator. The very fact that it is the last game at this venue, the Coliseum, I think it really might cause the Raiders to have something to play for. Because quite frankly, you look at Denver, you look at Oakland, no playoffs for either team. What are they playing for? I also think, and we mentioned it yesterday, the Raiders were snubbed. Zero all-pro players or Pro Bowl players. And to me, that's another motive. Hey, they don't think George Costanza's dad style, right? They don't think they're good enough. We're good enough for them. We're going to show them. I think the Raiders probably have a motivational edge against Denver.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.